Good morning. It's 27th of July. Our New Testament reading today is Matthew chapter 28, where we read of the resurrection. I'm going to read to you from Brother Melva Purkis once again. I read. Early as the women had been, they were not the first at the tomb that morning. Terrified by a great earthquake, the guard looked toward the tomb. The stone was rolled away. Upon it sat an angel of God, whose countenance was like lightning. They became as dead. As feeling returned, they stole away to the city to tell the priests. The tomb was empty. The Lord had risen indeed. The Father had given assurance unto all men. Everyone who came to the Father through him would behold the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Each one of us must stand, our heads bowed, before the empty grave. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive for evermore. Thou art worthy, we cry, to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and nation. But it will be our lives, not our lips, which will give to our heavenly Father our acknowledgement of his unspeakable gift. The women, filled with fear and great joy, went eagerly to tell the disciples as they were instructed, and to inform them that Jesus would go before them into Galilee. But their progress was suddenly halted by Jesus standing in the way. His voice reached their wondering ears. All hail! They came forward, and, falling at his feet, they worshipped him. Mary Magdalene was irresistibly drawn to the garden. She had followed more slowly, and now she was alone at the empty tomb, weeping because even the last loving ministration was denied her. This time the sepulchre was not empty. Two angels sat, one at the head and the other at the foot of the place where Jesus had lain. "Woman, why weepest thou?" "Because," she cried, "they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him." Even as she spoke, she became conscious of someone standing near her. She thought it was the gardener. "Woman, why weepest thou? What seekest thou?" Mary saw a possible answer to the mystery. She had a sudden hope that she would yet find her Lord's body, and, kneeling before it, minister tenderly with her spices and her love. "Sir," she sobbed pathetically, "if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away." "Mary." It was enough. It was the voice that had called her from the darkness of despair in the hills of Galilee. Was ever devotion more joyously surprised? "Rabboni." She fell at his feet to worship, but gently he stayed her. "Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." Whatever theological significance the words may have, Mary was to learn that Jesus was about to receive the perfection of nature involved in ascent to God. The personal contacts of the past were nearly over. He would not be with them in bodily form to which they could cling as hitherto. But henceforth he will always be with them, though eye cannot see nor hand touch him. We have special need of that lesson too. With the passing years we should grow ever more conscious of his nearness, not only in moments of remembrance on Sunday mornings, in times of great sorrow or temptation, but through all the experiences of life. Thank you for listening.